don't need less of it. We need more of it. And you say, what kind of church have y'all got here? We got a Bible preaching church. Amen. We love singing and appreciate singing. We sing a while, worship God, and that's important. But in these last days, we've got to have some preaching and got to have the Word of God in our hearts and lives. Well, I want to do something this morning. I've done it in the past. I don't know that I've done it here. But after Wednesday night, I've actually had several folk come to me and say, preacher, I wish you'd pick up where you left off on Wednesday. And I'm not doing it because folk ask, but I believe the Lord kind of nudged me this morning. I was going to preach that out of John 4, that woman at the well. But I believe it's where the Lord have us be. Many of y'all was not here on Wednesday, and so it all be fresh material to you. And then those of us that was here, some we had a time in the house of God. Probably the greatest Wednesday night service we've had all year, no doubt. And maybe one of the best services we've had in a long time around here. And I'm so thankful. That's why you ought not miss. That's why you ought to be in the house of God. Because you never know what's going to happen. And it probably won't be duplicated this morning. Preaching same passage, same outline, same sermon. It won't be duplicated. But the truth is there, and we want to challenge our hearts again today with it already. Psalm 21, we've been preaching through the Psalms on Wednesday nights, and one of the men in the church even told me last night, said it's just been amazing how rich that God has just let some of the thoughts and truths be, and I give the Lord the glory and the honor for that. So thankful that He still, listen to what I'm going to tell you, God still has something to say. Can I say that again? God still has something to say. God has something to say this morning. God has something to say to your family. And God has something to say to our church. And God has something to say to you individually this morning. And we're trusting that He'll speak to us all over and again. Stand with me if you will. Brother Chad, I need just a little more in my ear right here if you don't mind. Psalm 21. And let's read this psalm in its entirety again. The Bible said, the king, this is David now, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness, and thou sheddest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagine a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Verse 13 is our thought, where the Bible said, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. Let's pray together, and we'll preach our message tonight, this morning rather, on the thought there in verse 13, be thou exalted, Lord. Father, we ask you this morning one more time to help us. Lord, we was up early this morning and praying and asking you to bless the day. And God, you met with us, Lord, long before the sun come up. God, Lord, we are sure this morning that you desire, Lord, to do something in this place again today. God, we want to thank you for what you've been doing this year and in recent days and weeks, and how sinners have been being saved, and families have been being helped. And Father, we give you the glory for that, Lord. It's all due to your name. And Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, not just in this time of prayer, but through the message and throughout the day and in the days, Lord, to come of our lives. Lord, to exalt you for all that you do. Help us to live, Lord, what we're going to preach again this morning. Lord, I know today, Lord, we're not trying to put you in a box. God, we don't expect you to do what you did on Wednesday night. God, Lord, I am asking a special touch and a special blessing. God, Lord, to stir your people again. God, there's people that are discouraged this morning. They're hurting. Their families, Lord, are weary and well do it. God, I pray they get their eyes off their trouble. And God, get them, Lord, on their Savior and their Lord today. Father, I'm well aware this morning there are men and women, boys and girls here this morning right now that have never been saved by the grace of God. Lord, I'm asking you, would you please, Lord, use the exaltations and the bigness of the God that we serve, Lord, this morning to convict them and to trouble them. And Lord, may it look so lovely. And Lord, may their life and their destination, Lord, as they're headed for hell, look so miserable that they would gladly take the Lord God of the Bible and the Lord God that we exalt today. And Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you and bless you and praise you and exalt you above all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. As we come to Psalm 21, we're reminded today that Psalm 20 and Psalm 21 go together. It's believed historically that these psalms were sandwiched around the same event, and my friend, centered around the same circumstances that was going on in the life of David and among the children of God. And we preach Psalm 20, and when you study it, you'll find that it's a psalm of prayer. It's a psalm that David and the people of God are literally begging God for help. The enemy has come against them. The enemy has centered themselves against the people of God and is breathing out all sorts of threatenings. And they have come against the people of God in the masses. And my friend, they are getting ready to come against them in battle. And people of God are so overwhelmed, they don't know what to do. They don't know how they're going to get out of it. They don't know how they're going to get victory. And so they go to the only place that they have to go to, and they say, "Oh Lord, we need some help and we need some strength. And we've got this enemy out here that claims they're going to bring us down." And it looks like that what they're saying is true. And so, my friend, they bow down on me. And my friend, they said, "Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed." The longer they prayed, the more assurance they got. The longer they begged God for help, the more had the Spirit of God whispered in their soul and everything was going to be all right. And so, my friend, they stare the enemy in the face. They get up off a bended knee and they've got one prayer in man in the end of Psalm 20, and it is, "Save, Lord, that the King hear us when we call." I'm glad that the King hears us when we call it. And so, my friend, they march into the battle with an eye uplifted, understanding that if they're going to make it, God is going to have to save them. And when we come to Psalm 21, we understand that, my friend, all their prayers have been prayed and their battle has been fought, and they come out, Sister Kathy, on the other side. And where Psalm 20 is a psalm of prayer for help, my friend, Psalm 21 is a psalm of praise for the help that God has given. And you come to Psalm 21, the swords, my friend, are put up. My friend, the dust is settled. All the smoke is cleared. And seemingly there, my friend, is no battle left to face. And the children of God, they're dancing and they're singing. And they understand that at what looked like was going to bring them down in Psalm 20, that God has brought them through that. And Psalm 21 is an exaltation of all that the Lord has done for them in battle. And I remind you, if you live life long enough, and Job, the great man of God of old, said this, "That man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." In life, you're going to have trouble. In the days you've lived, it's going to be marked by
have this trouble and that trouble, and this battle and that battle. Can I get a witness? Amen. Life is not always made up of sunshine and blue skies and rainbows. Amen. Regardless of what the charismatic preacher says, my friend, you can be saved and love God and right with God, and you're still going to have bad days. But I'm glad I got a God I can call on when the troubles of life stare me in the face. I can go to God in prayer and know that He helped me through the battle. But where I want to get today is in Psalm 21. Understand that. And after God helps you in that through the battles and the circumstances of life, our job, my friend, is to do what I believe David's heart's desire is in Psalm 21. When he makes his statement in verse number 13, and he said, "Be thou exalted, Lord." Amen. In other words, David is saying, now that the battle is over, I don't want people singing my praises. I don't want to be exalted as the king of Israel. It wasn't my military strategy that got us through the battle. It wasn't the might of my army that got us through to see victory. It's the Lord that saw us through. It's the Lord that heard our prayer. It's the Lord that had brought down our enemy. And now we stand in victory. And so their heart's desire is, "Be thou exalted, Lord." And so we're preaching on that today, on "Be exalted, Lord." Be thou exalted, Lord. The phrase and expression is used here. The word exalted simply means to be raised to a lofty height. Amen. David is saying, we want the Lord to be uplifted above every man and above every king and above every God and above every Lord. Be highly lifted up. And I say we serve a Lord that is worthy to be exalted today. And we ought to exalt Him today. And it ought to be our desire that above ourselves and above our own name and above our church name and above our choir and above our abilities and above our talents, that the Lord would be highly lifted up in everything that we are and do. The word exalted not only means to be highly lifted, but it also means this morning to be elevated. It means to place in a position, amen, where you can be easily saved. Is that not what David and the people of God are doing in Psalm 21 as they brag on the Lord? Listen, their prayers have been answered. God has shown up and helped them. And now what they're doing is saying, we're going to elevate the Lord. We're going to put Him on the top shelf. We're going to put Him as high as we know to put Him, that the enemy can know and the people of God can know and our children can know that there's no Lord above the Lord that's helped us. And I say that needs to be done in 2014. Amen. We live in a generation that makes more of men and more of ministries and more of membership and more of motives and more of, my friend, manward deeds. Can I say it ain't about you and that? It ain't about, my friend, what we've done, what we're going to do, where we've been, who we know, my friend, everything we are. Amen. It ought to be our heart's desire to say, I want God to be elevated that a world may know who Jesus is. Be thou exalted. It means to be elevated. Here's the definition that really, amen, really fires me up today. It means to give honor to somebody who has been raised in office or rank. In other words, I think what David and the people are saying here, and they say, "Be thou exalted, Lord," they're saying, "You're the Lord, and I'm not. You're the boss, and you're in control, and we're not. You're the one calling the shots. You're the Lord of lords and the King of kings. You're the God of every God." Amen. And can I say today, that's exactly who He is. Amen. You say, "Who made Him Lord?" Nobody made Him Lord. Nobody voted Him in as Lord. Nobody's going to vote Him out as Lord. He's just Lord, period. Amen. Let me back up. He's Lord, exclamation point. Amen. And there's nobody else, who can assume the office and the rank that He has. And David and the people coming through this battle, looking through what all that God has done between, my friend, and that little white part of the page between Psalm 20 and Psalm 21, there's been a battle fought, and God has magnified himself in the battle. And now they're saying, what we want to do is give honor to you as the Lord that you are. Can I remind you today, and can I remind our president and our senators and our congressmen and our local leaders that, amen, our God is the Lord and they're not. We believe in giving honor to whom honor is due. Can I say, my friend, as much as we, amen, whether we like him or don't like it, amen, and most of us don't, and if our president came in today, what an honor it would be to preach to him a little while. I've got a few messages I wish he'd hear. And my friend, we could cut loose a while. My friend, he's in an office and he's in a position today. Whether we like what he does or does not do, we would have to give honor to his position. Because the Bible said, give honor and reverence to those that are in authority over the land. That don't mean we got to agree with them. That don't mean we got to go along with everything they do. My friend, God has raised them up and God can sit them down. My friend, we would give honor to those leaders today. Can I remind you, there's one that's greater than the President of the United States. There's one that's greater than the greatest king of our generation. Amen. There's one that has got a higher rank and a higher office, Seth. Oh, Pharaoh thought he was in charge, Seth. Little did he know that the God of glory, the Lord of lords, Seth, and the King of kings, Seth, my friend, would simply turn his heart whatever way that he saw fit. I remind you, he's the Lord today. And when we say, and David and the people say, be thou exalted, Lord, their sake, we want to give honor. We want there to be respect paid to God for being the Lord of all lords. We say this today, the word exalted also means to be extolled or magnified. Amen. I'm afraid that my generation is making God very small. We make him small in the songs we sing. We make him small in the way that we live our lives. We make him small in the ways that we worry and we fret over the things of life rather than praying and leaning on God and trusting God and letting God have his will and way. Oh, my friend, we come to church and we carry a Bible and we say that we got a big God, but we live, oh, my friend, like we got a little God that we carry around. David is saying we have learned, amen, before the battle and through the battle and now after the battle, that our God is not little, that he's to be exalted. We desire that he would be magnified and uplifted and seen to be the big Lord that he is. And I say he is a mighty big God. Amen. I like, and I've given this to you before, but them heathens come to David one day and they said, where's your Lord at? Where is your God? Where's he at? David said, I can tell you where he's at. He's in heaven doing what he's always done. Woo, hallelujah. You see, they thought David was crazy for believing in a God that he could not see. Amen. Believing in a God that he couldn't carry around. And David turned it around on him and he said, I tell you right now, I'd rather have a God and a Lord that I couldn't see, that I knew was the Lord and in control and big in my life, helping me through every situation and battle, and to have some God made of stumping stone who had eyes but couldn't see me, had ears but couldn't hear me when I called, had hands but he couldn't handle, had feet, but he couldn't get to me in the roughest days of my life. And can I remind you, the God we serve, you can't put him in stumping stone. Amen. There ain't no stone in the world big enough to portray how magnified our God really is. He ought to be magnified.
In everything we do, in everything we say, amen, it ought to be our desire today, because He's Creator and He's Lord and He's Savior today. He is Jehovah God. He's the one that said, now listen, He's done magnified Himself. Amen, do you realize that the Lord has already exalted Himself? In fact, He can exalt Himself no higher than He's already done. He said in the book of Isaiah, I am God and beside me there is none other. He said, I'm the Lord. Amen. Whom shall you liken me? And the answer is, ain't another God in all this world. Amen. Not Muhammad, not Allah, not Buddha. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you today, there is no other God like our God. He's already exalted Himself. You say, how has He done that? Look around, man. I mean, you're living in one of the most beautiful areas of God's creation.
Yes, sir.
Every time when you leave here in just a little while, my friend, you go out on the road and the leaves is a-changing, and you'll look up and, my friend, you'll see the mountains and all that God has made, and God has said, I'm the exalted Lord that made it all. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I'm feeling some preaching coming on. Amen. Did He not exalt Himself today? Amen. Them old shepherds is out in the field, and the angel of the host came down and began to sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. Hallelujah. They cried out, a Savior's been born, and all the heaven exalted who He was. Amen. And on the bank side of Bethlehem, amen, was the condescension. Amen. God wrapped in human flesh was exalting Himself. His earthly ministry, when He was baptized, the heaven, my friend, the Bible said from heaven came a dove, and came the Spirit of God as a dove descending on Him, and a voice cried out from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What was God doing? He was exalting Himself. The Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, and the Lord. Lord, have mercy, I ain't going to get done with this. Amen. Watch it now. They're up there. And the Lord is exalting Himself, and He begins to shine forth in all His glory. And they seen a little glimpse of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. And the Bible said that a heavens rolled back, and a voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. My friend, that day, what was God doing? The Lord was exalting Himself. Amen. What happened after they crucified Him? The Lord lay in the tomb 3 days and three nights. Amen. And then what happened? Amen. He got up, rose from the dead, had the keys of death and hell on His side. What was He doing? He's exalting Himself as the Lord. Buddha never raised Himself. Allah never raised Himself. But Jesus Christ today has exalted Himself as Lord through an empty crypt and an empty tomb and a resurrection. He has exalted Himself. Through the person of Christ, the Lord has absolutely exalted Himself. But notice what David said, be thou exalted, Lord. How can God magnify Himself any more than God has already done? The answer is He can't. He's already exalted Himself. Amen. Whether we understand the full extent of it or not, and there's probably yet to be revealed more exaltations of God of Himself, but He's already exalted Himself as high as He can be exalted. So what are we going to do about this? How is God going to be exalted in this world? Notice what David said in the end of verse 13. So will we sing and praise Thy power. David and the people are saying, God, it's our desire that You be magnified, that You be honored in office and in rank. And so what we're going to do, we know that You've exalted Yourself in the battle. You've already proven to us how exalted You are. What we're going to do so You can be exalted is we're going to sing and praise. Amen. We're going to tell everybody that we can about how big our God is. How
How is God to be exalted in 2014? That crowd that knows something of the saving grace of God is going to have to lift their voice. That word praise literally means, amen, to lift up the voice in song and in celebration. In other words, somebody's got to say something. Amen. Somebody has to stand up and testify and brag on Him and tell the world that's how big our Lord and our God is. I say, it seems like in our generation, again, I'm not trying to, amen, down the service and get on us today, but can I do that for a minute? I mean, we make our troubles out to be bigger than our God is. We exalt and we magnify. You listen to the average Christian talk, and my friend, they'll tell you, amen, about their baldness and their bell tones and their bulges and their bunions and their blisters, amen, and on, it's just problem after problem after problem. You know what David and the people said? We're tired of living that way. What we want is the world to know. We want God to be exalted as the Lord. Celebration.
Yes, sir.
Celebrating who He is. Brother Jerry, celebrating how high He is. Celebrating all His holiness and all His righteousness. I mean, getting enthralled and looking around, as Brother Mark testified, looking back over the days of your life and seeing what God has done and how God has exalted Himself in your life, and speaking up and saying, I want God to be exalted in all that I am to this point.
Amen.
You ain't got yourself where you are. Amen. If you're here today with any measure of success in your life, I promise you that sovereign unseen hand of God, amen, has been at work. I'm so sick of people telling me how great they are, how far they've come, amen, how they've done this and done that. And I remind you what Paul said in the New Testament, and without Him, amen, it is by Him that we live and breathe and have our being, and without Him we cease to be. So what are we to do? We, especially as the saved today, ought to come up in our heart and say, be Thou exalted, Lord. And I won't wait on Jerry to testify. And I won't wait on the preacher to, amen, preach on that kind of sermon. I won't wait on my favorite group to sing my favorite song. Oh, before I do so, I'll be mindful every day of my life, and I am to praise Him. Amen. If He's to be exalted. If He's to be exalted, and God knows that He needs to be exalted in this generation, somebody's going to have to stand up and say, I want Him magnified. Amen. Now, what does this psalm deal with? It's dealing with, be Thou exalted, Lord. Now listen, how's He going to be exalted? Somebody's got to praise Him. It is my praise that exalts Him in the generation I live in. Is everybody with me? Come on now, some of y'all visitors, you worried about me. I sweat like this and scream and about pass out three times a week. I'm going to be okay. Watch it now. What is it in this psalm that they're exalting about the Lord? How is it, what is it that I'm to praise Him for that would exalt Him, magnify Him, and honor Him in the office and the rank, and put Him in a highly lifted, lofty position? Number one, the praise of His power. He says in verse 13, so will we sing and praise Thy power. In verse number 1, David starts his psalm speaking to the king and how that he is going to, amen, joy in the Lord's what? In the Lord's strength. And so you've got power in verse 13. You've got strength in verse 1. It's a song that begins praising, thus exalting the Lord, or His strength in verse 1. And it ends praising, thus exalting the Lord, or His power in the end of this song. And so it begins with power. It ends with power. It ends magnifying and praising, and thus exalting the Lord for His power. What's that mean? That means David and the people is absolutely caught up, amen, in praising the Lord or His power. That is His ability to do anything. Can I remind you, the Lord God of the Bible can do anything. He can show up to a very old man at the age of 75 and say, Abraham, I know you're an old man, but I'm going to give you a son. Amen. And I know your wife's an old woman, but I'm going to give you and your wife a son. And Abraham say, I don't know how that's going to happen. I'm old and well stricken in years. Amen. Only, my friend, years and years, beyond 20 years later, amen, God show up and say, amen, by the time of life, amen, the next time I show up, you're going to be holding a son. And that same Lord, amen, amen, heard that Sarah had heard what he said and laughed in her heart. And he said, why is Sarah laughing? Here's what God said, but Gerald, he said, Abraham, amen, is there anything too hard for God? Oh, can I say today, and I ask you the question, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you need today. I don't know what you need God to do today. I don't know what God has put in your heart and promised you that He would do. And right now in your life looks like, and it'll never come to pass. And I ask you the question today, is anything too hard for God? And I remind you, He's the God of strength. He's the God of power and can do whatsoever He pleaseth. Amen. Whatever pleases Him, He can do. He's never had a problem He couldn't solve. He's never been a person He couldn't save. He's never been a prayer that my friend, He couldn't send an answer. And I remind you today, there's nothing too hard for God. This psalm exalts the Lord for His power. Notice the description of this power. The word power in verse 13 is His soul means. It literally carries the idea. It's a picture. The picture behind the word power, my friend, is not some old man in a rocking chair with a bottle of Valium pills sitting there rocking and putting himself to sleep, worried about what he's going to do. The word power shows a picture of a champion, of a warrior, that my friend has stood up upon his enemy with a drawn sword and has declared victory over that which set itself against him. And I remind you, that's who our God is. Amen. He's the God that never slumbers and the God that never sleeps. He's the God that knows how to roll up His sleeve and to make bare His holy arm. He's the God that, my friend, whatever troubles you, it don't trouble Him. Whatever makes you fear, amen, my friend, only makes Him rush out of your side to fight the battle. He's the Lord God of glory and all power with sword of praise, of declaring Himself to be the champion. Our God's not a loser. You want to make me mad? Get talking about Christians like we're a bunch of losers. And I know that's what the world thinks. They ride up and down the road today and they laugh at us. They think them poor people, they go in there and they're going to shout and they're going to scream and they're going to get shouted at and screamed out. And they're going to expect that crowd that goes in there to give their money. And they're going to give their money, spend their time. And poor little old Christians. The Jesse Ventura mentality of Christianity is nothing more than a crutch for the weak of our society. Well, guess what? I am weak. And Jesse Ventura's weak. And you're weak. And there's nothing you can do about it except lean on the everlasting arm of God. Amen. Who stands as a champion today. And I remind you, the old song had it right, whether you like it or not. Amen. He is the ultimate, undisputed, undefeated champion of love. He's never been defeated. He's never had a close call. He's never had to call for backup. I said he ain't ever had to call for backup. He ain't never had to have the cavalry, amen, come and rescue him. He's never been a POW. He ain't ever, my friend, lost one battle. He's the God that stands as champion. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Larry, I'm telling you, and the old devil can rage all he wants, and he is a mighty foe, and the world's a mighty foe, and the flesh is a mighty foe, but our God stands as the champion of all.
Amen. You say, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. I'm going to tell you, the only way you're going to make it is to lean on, amen, the descriptive power of our God. Amen, friend, listen. You say, well, what am I going to do? The devil's going to run me in. Amen, he ain't, as long as the Lord is on your side. Amen, the old devil said, amen, to the Lord, sure, I've considered you serving Job, but I can't get to it. You know why I couldn't get to it? All say was a hand that protects it. Amen, that old power had been raised up around Job. Amen. God was Job's champion and kept the devil at bay. And I say today, I ain't trusting in the power of Jeff to make it. Ain't in my intellect. And I love Jail, and I think Jail probably do anything in his ability to help me in time of need. But my faith ain't in Gerald. Amen. You say, I'm at the end of my road. You better get your ass on God. Amen. Because you fight your own battles, you'll fall. Amen. You'll fall 9 times out of 10. You'll never make it. You'll only make it worse. But thank God there is a Lord God in glory that you can trust and stands, amen, ready to help you fight your battles. Description of his power. Notice the as he begins to talk about here, not only in verse 1 and in verse 13 about his power, a description of it in verse 13, but I noted this, that there is the discovery of his power in verse 8. And the Bible said, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies, thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. The discovery, there is a searching, David said. God is so powerful, he don't even have to stand up and walk through the enemy's camp. He can simply run his hand through. And with his right hand, can glory to God. You know what David just said? It just dawned on me. You know what David's saying? He didn't say it was with the hands, plural. He said it's with his right hand. Amen. It's like David saying, God, you can whoop the enemy with one hand tied behind your back. Amen. And I tell you today, God ain't even got to come out with both hands to swing it. Amen. He's the God. The discovery of his power is that God can deal with our enemies with one hand tied behind his back. Glory to God. I get all worked up with, amen, I can't have both hands and I can't win my battles. But God said, hey, I'm so powerful it doesn't matter. I can whoop them with one right hand. Glory to God. That's good right there. Write that down. I'll put it in the notes. Notice with me the deliverance of his power. In talking about his strength, and through this psalm, he's declaring over and over the things of the power of God. In verse 1, and I believe it was in verse number 5, on two occasions in this psalm, David refers and the people refer to the salvation that God has brought. Deliverance. And I say that's something we ought to praise the Lord for. Brother Dane, to think about the deliverance, the ability of our God, the power of our God to deliver people. Now listen, this is not necessarily soul salvation. Amen. David's already saved. These are the people of God. They already know God. They've been praying to him, trusting him, leaning on him in the previous psalm. And now they've come out understanding. Listen, and God has not just that God has saved them in their soul, but that God has saved them in their situation. Look on up in here real good and understand this today. That Brother Jack, there's going to come times in your Christian life and walk with God that even as a saved person, you're going to need saving. Your soul saved, but the enemy rages and you don't know what to do. And so what they pray in the end of Psalm 20, save, Lord. Lord, we know you saved our soul. And can I just say, thank God I know that my soul is saved today. I'm not thinking so, hoping so. I ain't got no maybe so about it this morning. I know that my soul has been saved by the grace of God. Amen. I said that in my first church and I had a deacon come to me, got mad. He said, you ought not say that. I said, say what? that you're saved. I said, why? I know that I'm saved. He said, you make people uncomfortable if they got any kind of doubts. You make them uncomfortable and you cause them to question whether or not they're saved. I said, but if they don't know that they know that they know that they know that they're saved, amen, they need to know that they know that they know that they're saved. How can a man stand? You say, how in the world can you stand and say you with that much confidence that you know you're saved, you know that you've been delivered? Amen. You just have to have been there on September 14, 1996. I didn't pull myself up by my bootstrap. I didn't turn a new leg. I didn't start over. I didn't hit reset on the computer screen. Oh no, friend, the power of God, amen, met me where I was. And I know that I know I'm saved because of the power of God.
Amen.
My soul has been saved. If you don't know that today, you need to know that the Lord of Psalm 21 and the Lord of the Bible and the Lord of this church, amen, has the ability and the power to save anybody. Amen. Old Paul said, amen. Old Paul counted himself to be the chiefest of sinners. Ain't that right? And one old colored preacher said, if he can save the chief, he can save the Indians. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad that the Lord is in the saving business. Amen. When I was lost and undone, lost as a ball in high weeds, amen, the Lord came and found me and rescued me. Amen. It wasn't who my daddy was. It wasn't who my mama was. It was the power of Almighty Lord God of glory that made the difference. So how does that happen? Amen. I ain't gonna finish this again. Amen. And can I tell you today? It happens when you get to the end of your rope. It happens when you're willing to admit what you are. Us an old hell bound, hell deserving sinner. Amen. That ought to be in hell with your back broke this morning and realize that he came into the world a saved sinner, Seth, and he came today and shed his blood for you and receive him and repent of your sin. Thank God, that's where the power of the gospel changes lives. It's all about His power. Here's what people say, Brother Jack. Brother Tim, I've witnessed folk and they say, I believe that I'm lost. I know I need to be saved. But I can't live the Christian life. That's a pretty good place to be. When you realize you can't live it. But that's the glory of the gospel. That's the power of the gospel when you say, I can't live it. I got no power in myself to live it. And so I'm just going to come and get a hold of the grace and the mercy of God and trust in the power of the gospel. Amen. That's what Paul said in Romans 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth. I don't have the ability. I don't have the power. Thank God that day God saved me. I got the power to have a changed life. His power, delivering, the deliverance of His power, His ability to deliver sinners from their sin to save their soul. Then how many times since you've been saved has your back been up against the wall? Are y'all still with me? I'm nearly done. I'll end here in just a moment. But how many times has your back been up against the wall? Lord, it looked for sure like you was going down. All the statistics said there ain't no hope. All your enemies around you said there ain't no hope. The devil whispered, said there ain't no hope. Amen. Society whispered and said there ain't no hope. Amen. Your own flesh rose up and said, what are you going to do now? You sure ain't going to live to tell about this. There's no way. And about that time, amen, God stepped in and God brought deliverance in a bad situation. I say today, that's the deliverance of His power that God, our friend, has never, God's children have never had a problem that God couldn't deliver them from. You can take Paul and Silas all every day of the year and throw them in prison, beat them half to death. What are they going to do? About midnight, they're going to start singing and praying. And God's going to shake some prison doors open.
Yes, sir, brother.
And the shackles are going to fall off. And they're going to walk out. Why? Because that's the power, the delivering power of our God. The old devil can take you and put you in a storm like that Paul and them faced on the ship, that old storm, Euroclodon. Amen. And I mean, it gets so fierce and so intense that my friend, it looks for shore. And that crowd Paul's just sailing with, he said, don't sail. And they said, man, we're sailing home. And they got in a storm and they didn't know what to do. And they started doing everything they knew to do. Amen. Throwing this overboard and that overboard. And they're scrambling around. And it gets so bad that they're getting ready to take the life of Paul and the rest of the prisoners. Paul's able to stand up and say, hey, just calm down a little bit. Why y'all been running around scatterbrained and scrambling and making a bigger mess out of it? Glory to God. He said, I've been down there in that hinder part of the ship talking with God, and they're stood by me this night. Hey, man, the Lord, and He's told me everything's going to be all right. And when all was said and done, some of them had to float on broken pieces of boards, and some of them, my friend, had to swim in. My friend, every one of them, God brought them through the storm, and they landed on shore safely. And I remind you, child of God, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what storms you and I's going to face. Before the Lord lets us get to the other side, my friend, He is going to keep us safe. There ain't a storm this side of hell. God can't see His children through. He's the delivering God. He's got a delivering power that can set you free from any situation. So what are you doing this morning? I'm just trying to exalt the Lord. Notice the delight in His power. David begins his psalm saying, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord. And then he makes his statement, how greatly. Is that what it said? How greatly shall he rejoice in thy salvation? You know what I think David and the people saying? He's saying, ain't nobody got the power like God's got. We see it's God that brought us through this battle with the Ammonites. It's God that's seen us through. It's God that's got us through the other side. It's God that's kept us safe and alive. And what did he say? He said there's a delight about it. There's a joy and a great rejoicing over what God has done by His mighty power. Many people are gathered today in church. They'll listen to some man read out of the Reader's Digest, give them some little poem. Talk about life. And it may be, I'm not saying it'll be a bad poem or a bad story, but it'd be nothing about God and exalting God and what God has done and God can do. They'll go through a service with all their traditions. They'll walk out never having had God exalted and His power exalted, and we wonder why we're in the shape we're in. When's the last time we just got overjoyed? Brother William just got to the place we said, oh, I'm going to enjoy God and His power today. There ain't nothing the devil can do about it. God's been too good to me. God's seen me too many storms and too many trials for me not to be caught up in joying and greatly rejoicing in what God has done for me. When's the last time you found a place at an old time altar and just said, Lord, all my prayers for your help have been prayed, and there'll be days, maybe I need some help today, but today's just about exalting you for all the power that you've manifested in my life. Now, don't get mad at me now. We got choir members that sing like they're chewing on sawbriars. Don't get mad at me now. Our choir every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and some Wednesday nights sings to people that look like they're miserable. Come on now. What's the problem? Problem is, We don't know much about truly exalting God and delighting simply in His power to say, I'm going to celebrate that today. Amen. Ain't nobody higher than Him. Ain't nobody mightier than Him. Ain't nobody can make the arm bear and deal with their battles and help us like the power of our God can. Amen. Listen, there ain't a charismatic drop of blood in my body. There ain't one drop of tongue talking in my blood. If I thought there's a thimbleful, I'd cut my head off today. That's how anti-charismatic I am.
Yes, sir,
but I'm going to tell you something. We as independent, fundamental, King James Bible, thumping Baptists are long overdue to begin to celebrate who our God is once and again. Dead religion stinks. Stinks in the nostrils of God. Stinks in, and David and the people's got the place to say, we're tired of that. He's done too much. Let's celebrate His power. Praise Him for His power. Praise Him for His providence. All the things David says that the Lord done for him. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. The prayers He's answered. I like that verse that said, Thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. That word preventest, it don't mean in old English what it means today. Prevent, if you're going to prevent somebody. Some of you men, you football fans, they go in that prevent defense. That prevent defense means we're trying to hinder them from getting the first down. We're trying to stop them from scoring. And they go in that prevent defense. That ain't what that word preventish means. It's actually an old English word that means to go beforehand. To meet and give help to. David's saying the providence of God ought to be praised. For how many times God has prepared the way. You see in Psalm 20, they're worried about the battle. They're praying, God, what are we going to do? We got to have your help. Help your people. Help your king. And then they get in the battle and they find out God was already there waiting on them before they even got in the battle. And I say the blessings of God's goodness goes before you. How many days have you had something, man, really troubled you and fretted you and you didn't know how you was going to handle it? But by the time you got slap dab in the middle of all of it, God said, what's what I do? Here's a little goodness to go along with the... Here's a little blessing to go along with the burden you carry.
That's the truth.
And I say, I'm glad. Listen, whatever you face today, whatever battle you face, it ain't caught God by surprise. God's already in the middle of it, preparing a way to get you through it before you even get there. Hallelujah. We could talk today about praise for His provision. Praise for His protection. David said, it's the Lord that's given me life and extended it forever and forever. It's the Lord's hand that has been about us, working and moving and protecting us. We'd have been done in by the enemy, but God kept us safe. And I say, we got so much to praise the Lord for. No wonder they said, be Thou exalted, Lord. How's He going to be exalted? Well, I'll tell you how He ain't going to be exalted. Is when the pastor said, anybody got a word of testimony? And all you hear is crickets.
Amen.
Hear gnats burp and crickets chirp. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Tell you how He's exalted. The redeemed of God standing to their feet and say, I want to tell about what God did for me this year. I want to tell about what God did for me this week. I want to tell about the prayer God answered over here. And I want to tell about how God manifested His power over there. That's when these children began to see God exalted in the lives of those they follow. And then, Brother Dean, they'll say, if that's the God of the Bible, they've made Him so big to me, I can't help but follow Him. You ever wonder, I know we got to quit. I'm trying to find a place to land this thing. We're just circling for a minute. You ever wonder why kids get 18, 19, 20 years old, grow up in church their whole life, and then they run to the world There's a lot of reasons for it. One of the reasons is when they get that age, there ain't been enough exalting of the Lord. There's been a lot of exalting of standards and a lot of exalting of what we are as Baptists. And I'm not against all that, but we better make sure above it all, He's the biggest thing. Amen. He's magnified more than anything. Amen. Because when they get older, and as they get older, what's the world doing? The world's magnifying itself. The world's saying, come follow us. You can shack up. It ain't no big deal. You can be immoral and sleep around and get drunk and smoke dope. And they present themselves being magnified as a big time. You know what I'm praying? God will raise up Calvary Baptist Church again to exalt the Lord so much that the Lucas Joneses say when the world comes by and magnifies itself, he can say, that's pretty big, but it ain't as big as the Lord they've been telling me about. Amen. Let me say this. That's why you ought to keep your family in a church like this.
Yes.
Not because we're a great church, but because we exalt the Lord for the greatness of His power, His providence, His provision, and His protection. Praise God. Let's stand together. Be exalted. Be thou exalted, Lord. This altar's open. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I'm going to pray in just a minute. Sister Candy's beginning to play. Maybe as a saved person, you need to come get on this altar this morning. That's it. Mind the Lord. Come get on this altar. Say, Lord, I just want to thank You and praise You. We'll celebrate all You brought me through and all You've done. This morning, while saved folk are coming, God's children's coming. Let me ask this question today. Is there anybody in the building this morning would say, by an uplifted hand, Pastor Jeff, please pray for me. I've never been saved. I've never been born again. My life has never been changed by the power of the gospel. I'm just an old sinner. Bless you, ma'am. There'll be another say, I'm just an old sinner in need of the Lord God of glory to reach down in His amazing grace and save me. Is there one anywhere? Is there another anywhere? We've got ones raise their hand. Would there be another? Pastor Jeff, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. I won't embarrass you. Won't come where you are. I ain't going to drag you down this aisle. But would you be honest enough, let this preacher pray for you. Shape up, lifting your hand. Preacher, I've never been saved. Is there another? How many shape up, lifted hand? But Jeff, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. When I die, heaven will be my home. I can uplift my hand in confidence. I know that I'm saved. Just uplift your hand a moment. I know I'm saved. Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. My life's been changed. Praise God. You can put your hand down. That's nearly every hand. Thank you for being honest. You couldn't raise your hand. Listen, we love you now. Most of all, God loves you. You step out, come down, we'll take the Bible, show you how you can be saved. He's a God that delivers souls. Father, help us now today. Lord, there's a lot of saints of God, a lot of children of God on the altar, praising You and thanking You, Lord, for things You've done for them. God, we know that's always in order. Father, we want You to be exalted today. We want You magnified and made big. Lord, after all You've ever done for us, we got so much to praise You for. Lord, yet there's still people here today that's never been saved. God, what we preach today is foreign and strange. And Lord, they may know something about it on just an intellectual level. Father, they've never experienced the great power of our God. Father, would You please help them today? Lord, would You draw them to Yourself? Lord, we've tried to exalt You. You said in Your Word, if I be lifted up, magnified, exalted, elevated. Lord, You said You'd draw all men to Yourself. Lord, we've elevated You today. Now You have Your will and way. Draw sinners. Lord, by Your goodness and grace, draw them to Yourself. Save them, Lord, today we pray in Jesus' name. No one's looking around. There's some still a-praying. Got some still on the altar. Talking to the Lord this morning. Here's what I want to ask. Maybe you raised your hand and said, "Preacher, I'm not saved." Maybe today you couldn't raise your hand that you was saved. You know in your heart, "Man, I don't have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Know nothing of His delivering power." Listen, friend, we prayed. We prayed for you. Some of you this morning, we have prayed for weeks and months. Some of you this church has prayed for years. God save them. Would you come today? We've tried to exalt the Lord in your hearing. We've tried to exalt the Lord today before you. There's nobody like Him. There ain't nobody like Him today. There's nobody like Him today. You ain't going to find another Savior in all the world like Him. He's the only one. There's one mediator. There ain't two. It ain't multiple choice where you can pick one of four. There's one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. It's Jesus or hell. It's the Savior or suffering an eternity where God never intended for you to go. Would you come today? Not going to tarry long, but would you come today? Father, one more time, we want to bless you for the God you are. Thank you, Lord, for the Scripture. Thank you for the good challenge, Lord, that you've put on my heart and, Lord, delivered to your church. Lord, it's our desire, Lord, the remainder of this year to make more of our Lord than we have up to this point. Lord, it's our desire in the years to come to live our lives exalting the Lord God of glory. Help us, Lord, not to be silent Christians, but be so enthralled and excited, we'd gladly celebrate our God and all that He is and all that He does. Thank you, Lord, for helping us today. Thank you for this good crowd. I pray every need's been met. I pray, Lord, that you've helped families and touched lives and, Lord, done some good things in men and women's hearts today. So, Lord, right now, for things seen and things unseen, I give you the glory for what's been done. It's all because of you, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can look this way. Hallelujah.